All right, now I've got six things around it. I'm going to give you each one in completion. I'm going to give you number one, and you have to make room for all six. Around this heart that's gone astray in your heart, it's become cold and indifferent, it froze out the word, froze out sweetness. Number one, unwilling equals won't cooperate. You've got that part. In parenthesis, hard, all right? Now underneath that, I want to take portions from Esau's life. When we start out these scriptures, you have to think about them. By the time you get to the end, you're convinced. Please feed me, ellipsis, for I am weary. 27:30-30. Verses 27 through 30. We're taking from Genesis chapter 25. Please feed me, for I am weary. What's very interesting to me is this, that this man came home with an attitude and he was unwilling to get in on the deal. Who said he was supposed to go hunting and not be responsible for needing to eat when he got home? He was not a willing participant in that family.
Yeah.
He was an exception to the rule. He was a pet. He was daddy and mommy's. He was daddy's favorite. He got away with whatever he wanted. He went hunting and did his thing. He was a favorite to one of the parents. In this instance, was an adult. He came home and wanted to know why the other one hadn't got stuff ready for him. He was, first of all, he was unwilling. He wouldn't cooperate. He wouldn't function properly within the house. He was dysfunctional there. Please feed me, for I am weary. Of course, you could have said to him, who do you think you are? I'm not the chef around here, I'm your brother. Now, I'm not saying do that next time your brother wants some food. But what I am saying is, we're talking about a certain dysfunction here. Number two, unbelieving equals cannot trust. You go from unwilling to unbelieving. That's number two. In parenthesis, insecure. So this insecure guy says, and I'll give you the phrase. So he swore, ellipsis, and sold his birthright, verse 33. So he swore, ellipsis, and sold his birthright, verse 33. Now if that isn't an act of unbelief and insecurity, I never heard of it in my entire life. He thought so much of himself and so little of the call of God on his life that he was willing to compromise it and play the fool with it. I wonder how serious you are with the call of God on your life. Is it the most serious thing in your life? Or is it just something on the list of my concerns? If that is the case, you're like Esau, and you could one of these days be so flippant about this thing that you'll do a trade-off. And it's interesting because how in the world can trading your birthright for food cost you the call of God on your life and the whole nine yards and for generations to come? That's not how it happened. That was the last straw that broke the camel's back. He brought the same bad attitude home, and it was the last time God was going to allow him to get away with it. And he finally got so bad with his attitude that he got to the place where he was willing to trade it off. Now, maybe for you it isn't porridge or stew. It's something else. It could be a promotion. It could be a house. It could be a lover. It could be marriage. It could be something as small as that. But you know what's most interesting to me? Most interesting to me. That the devil plays so much with the call of God on your life that he'd make that the hot issue. I mean, if he came, couldn't he offer him $50? Couldn't he have offered him a side of this venison? He just killed something, didn't he? No. He was willing to be tempted through the tempter, Jacob, to put his calling on the line. Which tells me that's not the first time. Jacob, he'd been needling him for some time about the fact that I am going to get your calling. And Esau had been saying blah, blah, blah. And more than likely, Jacob had been saying that because Esau was so downright irresponsible and such a bad attitude that his brother was threatening him.